In the name of the living Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, when we were listening, first of all, the Gospel reading, we didn't really have to make demands on our imagination, did we? Because we had the scene set of the rich man enjoying his banquet and Lazarus laying at the gate in need. It could almost be the scene that we see every day in some part of Brighton or in any of our towns and cities in the country. It really is quite a painting of that reading. And it reminds me of when I first came to Brighton to live in Hove, actually. But I commuted to the city from Brighton Station. And every day outside Brighton Station was a young man who used to sell the Big Issue. I don't really know if the Big Issue is still going, is it? Because I've not seen one for a long time. But this guy sold the Big Issue. And I used to buy it from him each week. But then he put a surprise to many of us because he had 12 what he called favoured customers, of which for some reason I happened to be one. And every year at Christmas, those 12 customers, of which I was one, he always gave a Christmas card. And it was an honour, in my thoughts, to be able to receive that simple gift. But on the third Christmas that it happened, he said to us, "This is going to be my last one, because you won't see me after Christmas." We looked shocked. "Why?" "Well," he says, "I've obtained a place in Chichester College and accommodation on a course to be able to counsel people who were like me when I came to Brighton for better things in life. And I'm no longer classed as an alcoholic." And that was a wonderful surprise. And so me and another member of this church who's no longer with us asked him what would he like from us as a church for the future. And then we got a bigger shock. "I would like a Bible." And so to take with him, we bought him a good edition of the Holy Scriptures. Now, I've not seen or heard of him since. And that must be now going on for about 10 or more years, because I hadn't retired then. So he went on his way from being one of the, what some people call, nuisance of the pavement, to a council for people who had the same downfall as he had experienced. And that story and experience has stayed with me all my life, because he was really, when I first met him, very down at the heel. But that was his experience, and he took himself out of it. Now, in this day and age, that division between the people like the rich man and the people like Lazarus become much more apparent and obvious than perhaps they were 40 years ago. Yes, I find it absolutely astounding that this year I'm celebrating 43 years of living in hope. But what about our mission? Every month I attend a lunch at my club in London. And in the early years, I used to be asked to say the grace at this lunch. Nowadays, I'm never asked, because it's already on the programme. And I say grace at this lunch. And once I was told that they appreciated it, because although I said a different grace every month, I'm told that I set the tone for the lunch that day. Now, that's a simple thing for me to have to do. And I'm so pleased it's a tradition that has not gone away. But it has another meaning, doesn't it? It reminds people of the faith, or perhaps those who don't profess to have a faith, or for those who have a faith which is different to mine, what we are about. When we see people in need, we're anxious very often to give hope and counsel. But we never know, do we, how people are going to respond to it. Hopefully, if we speak to one of the people who would be nearer to Lazarus, we don't always get the response, if we want one, that we would like. I remember travelling many times on London Underground, and with a friend one day, the tube was quite crowded. And a young lady who was obviously pregnant had to stand. So my friend said, I'll give her my CD. So he got up and he said, would you like to have this seat? To which she responded, no, thank you, I'm just as able much to stand as you are. And so he said, oh, well, in that case, I'll have my seat back. We don't know what the response is going to be. And in that reading from the Gospel, the rich man and Lazarus, when they had been called to higher things, were concerned of what they could do so that their kin could also be welcome in the heavenly kingdom. Do they follow the words of Abraham, or do they follow the words of Moses and the prophets? But it doesn't really matter, does it? Because even in those days, the message of Jesus' ministry, then and now, is always open to interpretation and gift. And that is the case today. How many times have we listened to perhaps a sermon, or maybe sometimes in the sermon we switch off, or whether we understand it in the same way as each other. But whatever we say and do is subject to the basic lesson of humanity that Jesus gave. Now, in this day and age at the moment, we look every day at the scenes in Gaza. We look every day at what is happening in the Ukraine. We look every day at the things happening in the Sudan and in the Yemen and other trouble spots in the world. And if we want to search and search thoroughly of evidence of the love of Jesus' ministry, the commands which he gave to his disciples and to us, we find it very difficult to find the evidence. And I always think of that sign and words I picked up when I was on a bus and passed a church notice board where they used to have texts on their notice board. And the one that stayed with me all my life: if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And that is really the major question. And this is, to me, the questions that should be asked by leaders of our nations, by those who have responsibility for the lives of you and me and others. Is there enough evidence to convict us? Or are we just happy worshippers on a Sunday and perhaps daily in our lives, but not always visibly recognisable? And if we turn from that gospel story, which is so familiar, to the reading we had from the letter of Timothy, that lesson in Timothy gives us a clear instruction of what we are called to do in living the gospel, the ministry, the love, and the practice of Jesus. So we have quite an ordeal to give to the world, but how much of it and when do we give it? We can only answer for ourselves individually. But we know that it is worthwhile. I was travelling on a bus, as I often do, quite some time ago. And there were two front seats, and then I sat on the seat behind. And on the front seat, there were two ladies, and I gathered, hopefully I was right, or maybe I was wrong, they were a mother and a daughter. As I got on the bus and sat down, the younger of the two people turned round and said to me, "You will remember me in your prayers, won't you, Ken?" To which I said, "Of course." But she didn't tell me what I was to pray for. I didn't know who she was. And then when she'd said it, her mother said, "And include me too." I was only going 3 stops on the bus. Day with day on, and I imagine because what the tone of the conversation, and that the bus was the number one, that they were probably going to the hospital. So when I got off, I said, "Well, hope all goes well for both of you, and I will pray." And then when I got off the bus and was walking down the road, I thought, I don't know who I've been talking to. I don't know how they knew me. And lastly, I don't know what I'm supposed to be praying for. And so I looked up, and I said, "But I guess, Lord, that you know what it's all about. And we have to trust in the thoughts, in the words, and the demands which God makes of each of us every day." I've never seen either of those ladies again. And I've never, obviously, found out the details. But it doesn't matter, does it? The thing that matters is that when we are called in our ministry to pray or to listen or to go the extra mile, as Timothy demands, we do it in the name of Christ and for his church. We have sometimes to bear news and demands upon us, which we find perhaps very demanding. But rest assured, in our faith, anything that we are called upon to do, to say, or to offer, it's never a demand which the Lord knows we cannot fulfill. And so we look at Lazarus, we look at the rich man, and those divisions of people which happened in Christ's time are with us today. We see a Lazarus every time we walk the streets. We see the rich man, or the better off man, around us all the time. And so I leave with you on this day. Look at those in need. Do what you can to those who need you. And believe me, in this 21st century, there are a lot of people who need you. And we pray that we will be blessed in our mission here and in our everyday life. Amen.